Well, hello, it's the top of the hour, and I am happy to be joining you for another lesson in the Lead Yourself First program. This program is your personal growth program. It's your way to have access to a process that's going to help you get on track and stay on track, and it's going to support you as you grow. This system is designed for you. John Maxwell says, leadership develops daily, not in a day. And Lead Yourself First is your system to give you a way to help you develop those leadership skills that are going to help you today, and they're going to help you as you go forward. I can't stress enough how valuable this can be for you if you will take advantage of it and you'll put them into practice. This is not something I invented. I just discovered this through my now decades-long search to understand leadership and influence and how to get things done effectively with other people. And I wish that somebody had exposed me to these ideas when I was younger. And unfortunately, they just didn't. The implementation of these concepts in my work and my personal life, it transformed things for me. And it can transform things for you, too. And that's what excites me so much about personal development. Leadership skills are absolutely learnable and they're practical, too. Now, as always, I want to take a moment to remind you that the goal is not for me to entertain you. It's not even for me to inform you. My question for you this lesson and for every lesson in Lead Yourself First is, how are you going to act after this lesson is complete? ACT is an acronym. It stands for Apply, Change, and Teach. What are you going to apply? What's some idea as we're talking today in today's lesson? What can you apply? Change. What's something you can start to do a little differently based on what we've talked about today? How can you change something that you're doing to get a different outcome? And teach. Now, I always say that it's not about you taking the lesson and getting on a call like this and teaching it. It's not that at all. It's really about you being able to share something about what you are learning as you're learning. Our goal is to be a reservoir. I mean, not a reservoir. We want to be a river, not a reservoir. And how can you take what you're learning and share it with other people? Now, this lesson is one that is very near and dear to my heart, and I've been looking forward to it. Have you ever sent an innocent email and had somebody get really upset with you? Have you ever said something and somebody took completely the wrong way? It's ugly, isn't it? We spend so much of our time dealing with poor communication. And if there's one thing that we all know, it's that communication can and does sometimes go wrong. In fact, it often goes wrong, and that's the reality. Miscommunication happens all the time. And every time we're miscommunicating, it costs us time and energy and productivity as we clean up the mistakes that we made. I recently read that David Grossman reported in his report, The Cost of Poor Communications. They did a survey of 400 companies with 100,000 employees, and each company cited an average loss of $62 million per year because of inadequate communication to and between employees. And for most of you, today's lesson is going to give you great value. You're going to find an idea that you can resonate with and put it into practice, and you're going to get a result. And maybe you are going to want to go deeper during this process. You're going to learn some things, and you're going to say, man, I really want to grow. If that's you, at the end of today's lesson, I promise I'm going to share with you a way that you can go deeper and take this even further. Fair enough? Well, let's jump in. Today's lesson is all about clear communication. How can you make sure that you are communicating clearly to other people? One great communicator, George Bernard Shaw, once said, the single biggest problem with communication is the illusion that it has taken place. The single biggest problem with communication is the illusion that it has taken place. I think that is absolutely spot on, and more so today than ever before. We've never been awash in more information than we are right now. Our task lists are longer and more detailed. We've never been as busy as we are now, and we've never had as many different ways to communicate either. Phone and via printed paper, email, text, Facebook messages, instant messages. I was looking at this on my computer today. I think there are at least five different instant message communication tools that are on my system. It goes on and on. And your goal is you want to get the right information to the right person at the right time, but how in the world do you do that? And we know that we're surrounded by the illusion that we've communicated. So how do we get to where our message is clear and it's simple and it's understood and most importantly, acted upon by the person we're trying to communicate with? That's really what today's lesson is all about. Now, there are three big ideas in today's lesson. These ideas are simple to understand, and if you can use them when you're working with others, you're going to move beyond just the illusion that communication has taken place, and you'll really become someone who actually connects with other people. You want to hear the three big ideas? Here we go. One, clear communicators do the hard work of making it simple for other people. Clear communicators do the hard work of making it simple for other people. Two, clear communicators know that each listener is unique. They're different from you. They're not wrong, they're just different. Clear communicators know that each listener is unique, different from you, not wrong, just different. And three, clear communicators have a big idea that they repeat for their listener. Clear communicators have a big idea that they repeat for their listener. So let's dig in a little bit to number one there. Clear communicators do the hard work of making it simple for other people. Now, you might know that my background is in software and technology, and I heard one software developer talking to another one, and he said, "You think it's hard to read the software that I write?" Well, it should be. It was hard to write. It should be hard to read. For those of us who would describe ourselves as geeks, it is tough for us to be able to communicate clearly. Because if the problems that we were solving were simple, you just wouldn't need our skills to solve those problems. I had a conversation with a friend who's a data scientist the other day, and I was talking to him about the problem that he works on, which is how do you take data and communicate meaningful messages to other people when there's so much data and it seems to be conflicting all the time. And sometimes data scientists have a bit of a reputation for not really playing well with other people. And one challenge is that those data scientists don't help their customers understand how they figured out the problem. They just say, "Here's the answer." And I asked my friend about this. He readily agreed. And he said, "Look, Tom, it's really hard to figure out the projections based on these different data sources. And making conclusions is hard enough for me to understand it. The last thing I want to do is figure out how to put it into terms that you would understand. I've already given you the answer. Isn't that enough?" But we have to recognize it's not just the technology folks who do that. We all have problems with this. And we often have a better understanding of what we do and how we do what we do than anybody else does, no matter what job we do. And that close or intimate understanding of the things we do makes it hard for us to think like someone who doesn't know as much as we know. And I think about that idea that we have... It's called the curse of knowledge. Once you understand something really well, it's hard for you to remember what it's like to not understand it really well. Let me give you an example. I heard a comedian's routine the other night. Brian Regan was making fun of the fact that Pop-Tarts have instructions on the side of the box. They have two different ways that you can prepare Pop-Tarts, and each of the different methods has multiple steps. I mean, how hard can it be to warm up Pop-Tarts? It turns out it requires instruction. I was looking online the other day, and the video that I watched seemed legit to me. There was a worker in a factory, and he was given no instructions, but as he was working, he was handed some earplugs. You know, the kind of that squish down and fit in your ears, and they're connected to each other with a string? And the label on the video said, "It's so obvious that no one would need any instructions." And in what certainly appeared to me to be an unscripted video example, the worker received the earplugs and promptly inserted them in his nostrils. I don't know, maybe it smelled bad in the factory, I don't know. But it's hard to communicate because it's so easy to assume that others know the things that we know. Clear communicators do the hard work of making it simple. But let's go back to my data scientist friend. Why doesn't he want to make things simple for other people? Well, keeping it simple requires work on his part. It's work to be simple. It's hard to figure out the essence of the information and put it into terms that make sense to other people. Now, why is it work? Well, first, most of the time, most of us, we just want to show up and throw up. We want to show up in a meeting. We want to talk about whatever comes into our head and just talk about whatever we want to talk about. And why do we do that? It's because we're busy. We're too busy. We're too busy to prepare before we go into a meeting. We're too busy to plan what we want to say before we say it. And we're even too busy sometimes, too busy to think. So what happens? Well, you know what happens. I don't need to tell you. What happens is we miscommunicate. And what's the consequence when we miscommunicate? Well, I'll tell you, when we miscommunicate, people do the wrong work. They do it to the wrong standard. They do it on the wrong schedule. They show up at the wrong time or in the wrong place. They do it in the wrong order or for the wrong customer. I'm reminded of the proverb from Poor Richard's Almanac. He said, "A stitch in time saves nine." If we had just prepared a little better, if we had taken the time to make a single stitch to fix that sweater, we would have avoided all the work of fixing the entire sweater after it came unraveled. It's been decades for me since I was in college, and I remember as a kid when microwaves were first commonly available to families. And they took a while to catch on, and even by the time that I've been to college, we had had a microwave at our house, but not everybody who came to campus had one, and they hadn't used one even. And one of the folks on campus went to the convenience store and he bought a frozen burrito. And he brought it back with him to the lounge at the dorm and he wanted to heat it up. And the directions read, "Microwave for 1-2 minutes." But having never used a microwave before, he simply thought it was a misprint. Nothing could cook that fast. It must have meant 12 minutes, right? So he puts the burrito in the microwave for 12 minutes. And after a couple minutes, he got bored and he wandered back to his dorm room to get something. By the time he came back, he found an RA in the lounge discharging a fire extinguisher into the open microwave to put out the flaming burrito. Well, what does it look like to make it simple for other people? Well, it requires that we make the time to think before we speak. We need to think about what the other person needs. Where's the other person coming from? I mean, do they know that I'm going to give them earplugs and not nose plugs? We need to think about what the other person's being measured on. Let's go back to that Pop-Tart example. They took the time to write instructions for removing the Pop-Tarts from the pouch, for inserting each of them into a separate slot on the toaster, for heating them for a single cycle, and then also allowing them to cool. Now, why did they do that? Because they know that somebody who's buying Pop-Tarts needs to know those things. And that leads me to big idea number two. First, we talked about clear communicators do the hard work of keeping it simple for others. Now we're going to talk about how clear communicators know that each listener is unique. They're different from you. They're not wrong. They're just different. Now, I've got a client who's a project manager for a billion-dollar firm. And the CEO asked him to work on a research project. And the project manager spent weeks doing research, analyzing options, deciding what was relevant. And then the time came for him to present the information. And he was prepared. He showed up with about 45 hours of content and 45 minutes to present. And unfortunately for him, it didn't go well. He said, "Tom, I knew I was in trouble almost as soon as I opened my mouth. The CEO's eyes virtually rolled back in his head, and I thought he was going to fall over dead during my presentation. What in the world did I do wrong?" Now, I know this guy. He's smart. He's prepared. He's very detail-oriented. And he also backed up the data dump truck and dumped a load of data on the CEO. You ever done that? You ever taken a topic about which you know a whole lot and dumped all that data on somebody? They feel like they're drinking from a fire hose. They can't keep up. Now just think about that for a minute. Did the CEO want all that data? Did the CEO need all that data to do his job? What's a CEO being measured on? CEOs, good ones anyway, focus on two things. One, how do we increase our sales? And two, how do we do what we do for less money so that we can decrease our operational costs? And every piece of data that matters to a good CEO gets filtered through those two lenses. And everything you do to communicate to a CEO ought to be linked to one of those two ideas. Now, I had a really very smart, capable, detail-focused team member ask me, "But Tom, how in the world can you possibly make a good decision if you don't have all the information?" And the answer is, because I'm different from you. Because I focus on a few key measurements. Because I see trends and themes and I see the big picture, and candidly, my brain begins to shut down when you hit me with a ton of details. When my client was talking to his CEO, he needed to filter the data through that lens of how do we make more money based on this research, or how do we lower our costs? And we talked about that, and then my client had another meeting with the CEO. And the next meeting with the CEO went far better. He said the CEO was engaged, and he asked him to drill down on a few points, and he asked for his recommendation based on my friend's analysis, my client's analysis of the data. And that's what happens when you realize that people are different from you. Now, I don't have at my command the time to get into all the details, but let me share a couple of ways that people might be different from you. One is learning styles. Some people learn by reading all the details in writing. Some people like to hear the details out loud in person from you. Others like to watch on audio or video where they can rewind and fast forward. So maybe their learning style. The next is level of detail. Some people really want all the technical details, and other people just want you to hit the high points. Now, I love the big picture, and loving the big picture doesn't make me smarter. I'm just different. I need different things. I worked with a woman who was a terrific engineer, and she was fantastic about helping me think about the way that my ideas, that my big picture brain would completely overlook. She helped make sure that some of my crazy ideas died quickly, and some of my not so crazy ideas were actually well thought out before we started out, and her input allowed me to have a much better chance of being successful. When she talked to me, she learned over time to tailor her message, less detail, more conclusions based on her analysis. And I learned that when I talked to her, I needed to think more about the details. I needed to share details with her in writing before our meetings so that she could read and think about them and comprehend them when we talked about them. Now, are you a big picture thinker, or maybe you are somebody who loves the details? Whichever way it goes for you, you're probably going to need to adapt your communication style to their communication style. And different people are going to think differently about the message. Some people are going to want to think about what it means to them, and others are going to think about the impact that that message may have on other people. Or yet another group might be thinking about the impact that is going to have on the company. So the level of impact is another way people are different. Some people are interested in personally analyzing the information. Others are focused on how the data might affect people's feelings. Still others might say, so what? What are you going to do about this? And some people are going to say, but we need to respond as a team, and how do we go about doing that? When you get ready to communicate, you need to think about your audience. What's their learning style? What level of detail do they need? What type of impact might this information have? And even if after all that analysis you end up with one specific message, one singular message after your planning, just having thought about the audience and the other people's needs are going to improve the quality of the communication and the connection you have with people. Okay, so we talked about clear communicators do the hard work of making it simple. We talked about how clear communicators know each listener is unique. Now we're going to talk about big idea number three. Clear communicators have a big idea that they want to repeat for their listener. If you're planning for a meeting, you're planning for an interaction with somebody, what's the most important thing for people to get from that meeting? Now think about the last meeting you attended. Seriously, just think about that meeting. Okay, now let's imagine right after that meeting, somebody walks up to you at the water cooler and says, what happened in the meeting? Well, if you're like most of us, what you're going to do is you're going to quickly fast forward in your mind through what you remember of the meeting, and then you're going to come up with a one or two sentence summary of that meeting, right? Hey, Tom, what was that meeting about? Well, Joe went over the project status. Reggie reported that his team's 2 weeks late because they couldn't find the source that they need. That's about it. Now, this meeting might have run an hour. There might have been six different people in the room, and some of them might have spoken for more than 10 minutes, and all you summarize it down to is a couple of sentences? Really? Well, that is how that works. And I call that the water cooler summary. What somebody will report out at the proverbial water cooler when they're asked about the meeting. Now, when you know that that's how it works, you can take advantage of that. What's the one thing you really want people to remember? Think about this lesson today. In this lesson, I told you there are three big ideas, and my big ideas are clear communicators make it simple, they understand each listener is unique, and they repeat their big idea for the listener. So when it comes to your water cooler summary, you want to decide in advance what it is, you want to put that water cooler summary in as few words as possible, and when you open your mouth, put those few words out first. In the military, they call that bluff. Bottom line up front. So are you ready to bluff? Put that bottom line up front. People are too busy to think. We're swamped and we need help. Make it easy by telling us what you want. Put your bottom line up front. If you want to reinforce your water cooler summary, you open the discussion with your bluff, you repeat your bluff during the meeting, and you repeat it again at the end. You also put the water cooler summary in the meeting minutes and in the subject line of the email where you send out the minutes. Before the meeting, before you speak, set aside some time to think about what you want people to learn, think, or take away from the conversation. Come up with one idea, two, maybe three maximum you want them to have, and be prepared to repeat them for your listener. In fact, you're going to want to say them out loud as you get started. When you speak, use that bottom line up front technique. During the discussion, you say your water cooler summary. At the end of the meeting, say it again. Politicians do this all the time. They call it staying on message, and it really works. All right. It's almost time for your takeaway at the end of this lesson. As you think about today's three big ideas, I want you to think about what's a small step you can take to get better. Which of these big ideas is most relevant to your situation? What specifically can you do to improve your communication? Remember, the big ideas are clear communicators do the hard work of making it simple for others. Clear communicators know each listener is unique, not wrong, just different. Clear communicators have a big idea that they repeat for their listener. So I want you to take the next couple of moments and write down your action plan based on today's lesson. Now, maybe you're listening to this lesson with the team members, with your team members, and now's a good time to have a conversation with your team members about how you can improve communication. What's an area where you guys are not doing a good job of communicating today, and what could you do to improve the quality of communication you have? For today's closing thought, I want to remind you the biggest problem with communication is the illusion that has taken place. Clear communicators make it simple, they understand each listener is different, and they repeat their big idea for the listener. Now, at the start of the lesson, I mentioned that you might be in a situation where you want to go deeper. I want to take just a moment to talk with you about how people are all different, and different's not wrong, it's just different. Now, what's really cool is that while it's true that people are all different, it's also true that people are predictably different. One of the tools I use with clients to help them understand differences and understand themselves better is called a DISC assessment. It's a simple to understand system where we explain that there are four basic ways that people approach communication and work. And understanding these four different ways and knowing where you fall and where others fall can make a huge difference. I was speaking with a client recently who said, "I don't understand that guy. He's so easily distracted. He won't pay attention when I'm sharing valuable information with him. What's wrong with him?" Well, it turns out they're both highly successful people. They're just different. And I was able to share some communication tweaks that she could make that would improve communication, and she got really excited. It was like she got the key to unlock a really important door, and she had. DISC is powerful. If you're interested in this, head over to brighthillgroup.com/DISC, where you can find a video about DISC as well as a link to buy a DISC assessment. Thanks for being here for today's Lead Yourself First lesson, and I'm looking forward to hearing from you next time. Take care.